We're glad you're here today. Let me jump into the final week of our summer series that we've been in entitled Jesus Said. This has been a great series. Have you enjoyed the series, church? Has it been beneficial to you? This has been probably one of the best series we've done, even though it was a long one. But I know that the power that the series has and how transformational it can be if you apply these Beatitudes to your life. It's been an eight-week study on the Beatitudes that kicked off the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 4, 5, and 6. And these Beatitudes are just values. They're these principles you can apply to your life. And once you do apply it to your life will be changed forever. And so as we jump into the eighth Beatitude today, if this is your first week here, you get the end of the series. But as we jump into the eighth Beatitude, we must understand that we have number eight because of the first seven. Number eight is a byproduct of one through seven. So here's the eighth Beatitude. This is where we're going today, church. Matthew 5:10, it says this: "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's where we're going today, church. All seven of the Beatitudes that we've studied and we've been in this summer have this element of a pursuit of righteousness. Like, that is the aim. As we apply the Beatitudes to our life, the aim is that we would become righteous, that we would live a godly life. And even a few weeks ago, one of the Beatitudes that we hit was, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." So that is our goal. That's what we're trying to do. But here's the thing: in our pursuit of righteous living, in our pursuit of a godly life, the Bible tells us that because we are pursuing righteousness, we will be persecuted because of it. We are being persecuted because of righteousness. So let me just stop there. Congrats to you, because the world wants to give you, because of your pursuit of righteousness, the world wants to give you persecution. That's the trade-off. That's what the world wants to give you. Now, I know this Beatitude is not a bumper sticker verse. You've heard that before. It's not one you'll see plastered on the Honda Accord out front, you know. Blessed are the persecuted. It's not one you'll find on a coffee mug. It's not one that you're, you know, one that you recite from time to time. This is one of those verses. It's kind of hard to digest, but it's still the truth and the word of God. Let me give you some more scriptures if you're not encouraged yet already. Here's some more scriptures that you won't find tattooed on Tech's body, all right? Or on a plaque in someone's home when you get there. Here we go. Here's some more great verses to encourage you today, church. 2 Timothy 3:12. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Put that over your bed, you know. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults and hardships and persecutions. I delight in that, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The pursuit is to be weak. Matthew 24:9 says this: "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." Now, I know it's easy as you're reading your Bible to skip over those verses. It's probably the tendency is to go, "Well, that's just not for me. That's a little bit too much for me. I'm not experiencing that. I'm just going to pass over." But the reality is, this is the case for many people in the world today, and it's something that the Bible tells us that we will experience. The extreme stories of persecution that we hear in the news, they may be far off places, but the truth is many are being put to death because of their faith in Jesus even today. The Bible tells us that this is something that we need to be prepared for. And although it seems like something that happens only in a foreign country, I do believe it's only going to get worse for us here in the United States. This is why we should not become comfortable Christians. Those are those ones that just come in to check a box. They come in maybe Easter and Christmas. It's just this idea that you know, I just want to check the box when I go to vote. I can check Christian. You know, I've been to church once or twice. I'm in this pursuit of just being entertained. I'm in this pursuit of just what's in it for me. How can I gain out of this? That's a comfortable Christian. If we become comfortable Christians, when the persecution comes, we won't stand a chance. That's why here at Zaya, we're not here to entertain you. I'm sorry, I don't know how that comes across. We really want to disciple you. We want to train you up in God's word to help you, because life is real and persecution is on its way. So we stand in our faith and we stand on the word of God and we stand on the shoulders of men and women who went before us, who were burned, who were beheaded, who were stoned, who were hung, and who were persecuted to death simply because of their belief in Jesus. I know that might not be the case in the U.S. today. You are not seeing people beheaded because of it, but it is present in the world today. And it is coming sooner than we think. I know this might not be the most fun topic to talk about this Sunday morning. Welcome to church. Your first time, we're going to talk about persecution. The only thing worse if I talked about money, probably for you, you know. But it's the eighth beatitude, and we're in a series on beatitudes. I can't ignore the eighth beatitude. I don't know if you've heard a sermon on persecution before, but it's the first time for everything. So here we go. I'm glad, though. I'm glad we're talking about it. I'm glad we're addressing these principles of Scripture. I'm glad we're talking about the Word of God. Because if we don't preach about it, we won't be prepared for it when it comes. Because it is coming. And we need to be prepared for it when it does come. It was in the prison of persecution that Paul had his chains loosened and the gospel was magnified. It was in the persecution of a pit that Joseph came out of and became second in command. I know we don't celebrate persecution, but there is something that God wants to do through persecution that is worth celebrating. There's something that happens only in persecution that we can celebrate. Persecution's all through the Bible. Many of the heroes we talk about in Scripture, and we celebrate, we talk about their stories, we celebrate their stories, we learn from their stories, we apply their stories to our life. Most of them led to persecution. And my goal today is not to scare you, but to help you recognize that it's taking place in the world today. And when it comes to us, we need to know the Scriptures so we can be prepared for it as it does come. So if you're taking message notes, here's the eighth beatitude. The title of the message is the persecuted, all right? Now that you're encouraged and feeling good today, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Teach us something new today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. The group Open Doors USA figures that 360 million Christians last year alone lived in countries where persecution was significant. Roughly 5,600 Christians were murdered last year. More than 6,000 were detained or imprisoned. And another 4,000 plus were kidnapped. In addition, more than 5,000 churches and other religious facilities were destroyed. And just 4 days ago, it was reported that over the past few months in Nigeria, 68 Christians have been killed. It's here. It's happening. It just may not be happening down your street or in your neighborhood, but it has happened all throughout the world. Persecution is something that is just here, and we have to deal with it. It may not be as extreme for us in some places that we see, but nevertheless, Christians are being persecuted for their faith daily. It just comes in many forms. For us, it may not be the beheading, but it might be an unfollow. It might be a refusal of service. It might be loss of business or even a loss of friendship. We had a family in our church. The man was a realtor. He was on our team, and he landed a sale. He was going to sell this couple a house. Happened to be a homosexual couple. They somehow found out he was involved in church, went on our website, read our statement of faith and our stance on marriage, that we believe marriage is between a man and a woman. Shocker, that's what the Bible says, right? And so what they did, they said, you're not going to sell us a house. So he lost a customer simply because of his belief in Jesus. Persecution comes in all shapes and sizes. So I want to take time today to focus in on one story in the Bible where we can learn from, and a story that will prepare us for when persecution comes, because it is coming. I want to take a look at the book of Daniel. And Daniel is a great book. There's so much to learn about Daniel. I think I preach on Daniel the most because there's so much to gain from Daniel. I want to look at the book of Daniel from the perspective of persecution today. Daniel highlights a day and time when the Babylonian culture infiltrated a godly culture. So where Daniel was, he was a godly man with godly people and a godly culture, and this Babylonian culture infiltrated it. It came in and brought their anti-God views. Kind of like today. Doesn't it sound like today? You see, back then, there was this anti-God faith, this culture. And they brought it to the Christians and the believers. Today we're seeing an anti-God culture infiltrate a godly culture, even today. But what you need to know is that the culture around you is not as powerful as the kingdom of God within you. It cannot infiltrate the kingdom of God within you. So you have a choice. You can either live the world's way, or you can live the Word's way, God's way. And it's your choice. You can live for the culture, or you can live for God. It's either the kingdom of God or the culture of the world. It's a phrase that we've just fell in love with recently. Are we living for the kingdom of God or for the culture of the world? But I must warn you, persecution is coming whether we want it or not, and it will shake our faith. And as we look at this Babylonian culture, they infiltrated this godly culture. So where they worshiped God, this Babylonian culture came in and introduced multiple gods. Where they actually houses of worship, they came in and they perverted the houses of worship. Where there was a single identity in the one true God, they came in and introduced multiple identities and began to actually change people's identities. The king of the time was King Nebuchadnezzar. And the first thing that he did was he gathered all young men to himself. Okay, so think about this. He infiltrates a godly culture as an anti-God person, and he gathers all of the young godly people. That's the first thing he does. He went after the strong, the faithful, the godly, the loyal, the young, strong men, and he indoctrinated them. He converted them to his belief. Can you see the comparison in the world we live in today? There is a culture that seeks to overwhelm the kingdom of God and infiltrate it and begin to convert men and women and God away from the faith. We see it right before our eyes. We must be aware of what's going on in our culture today. I've said this before, but we need to be aware of what's going on in our school systems. This is culture, an anti-God, non-godly culture, infiltrating a godly culture. We got to be aware of what our kids are learning, the curriculum that's being taught. And I admire those of you guys who are going to the school board meetings and fighting. Because if we don't, we are giving it to them and they will change it anyways. We need to be aware of what's going on and what our kids are watching on TV and what they're watching on social media. As I was writing this verse in my home office, my kids were watching a show. I didn't know what they were watching. Turns out they're watching Disney, which we all know that's not the same Disney we grew up with. And it wasn't Buzz Lightyear, which I know is coming out, and they have a homosexual agenda. This is actually, it was another like cartoon on Disney, and I overheard a man wanting to take another man on a date. This is a cartoon for little kids, and that's the agenda that they have at a young age to infiltrate the culture and to convert our kids. We need to be aware of what's going on in movies and television and even in music. This is how culture comes through what we see, we hear, we experience. We're being infiltrated by an ungodly culture. And mark my words, an infiltration is the beginning of a season of persecution. An infiltration of an ungodly culture into a godly culture is the beginning of a season of persecution for us all. So the Babylonian culture, they took these men that began to indoctrinate them. They changed the way that they ate. They changed the way that they were taught. They changed the way that they lived. They even went as far as to change their names. So I want to look at three men. You may know where I'm going with this if you've read your Bible before. There's three men that we talk about a lot in the Bible, but here's, let me give you three things that give you something that you've maybe never heard about these three men. I'm going to tell you their names that they were before how we know them now, okay? These names represented who they are and their belief in Jesus. These three men that were being indoctrinated by King Nebuchadnezzar were this. Let me just show it to you. The first man is this, Hananiah. Hananiah, his name meant God is gracious. Then we have Mishael, his name meant who is like our God, and Azrael, God help us. Three names, three identities in the one true God. Names have significance. Names have meaning. King Nebuchadnezzar didn't like that. He came in and changed their names, changed their identities. Here's what he changed it to. Just notice. You know these men as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach means this, in command of the moon god. Meshach, who is like the moon god. Remember, his name was who is like our God. He changed it to who is like the moon god. And Abednego, servant of Nebo. He changed their names. He changed their identity. Three godly men now have their names changed. But now with the infiltration of this culture, Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to pursue his own agenda. He changed them. And I just believe this is for someone today, that your name is not your identity. What people call you is not your identity. The mistakes you've made and people have deemed this over you is not your identity. The culture may try to change your identity, but they cannot change your nature, the God-given nature that you have on the inside. So these men, they had their names changed, but they were in pursuit of righteous living regardless of what the king said, regardless of what they called him. So they would be offered foods, and these men would refuse the food because they said they would defile them. It would go against their religion. When they were told to worship multiple gods, they refused because they wanted to worship the one true God. And as they began to take a stand for their faith, God took a stand for them. This is good news for us because when persecution comes, it is for those who take a stand for God that God will come and stand for them. Because the enemy has no new tricks. The enemy has no new tricks. He only has his old tricks, and he just keeps trying them out on us in different ways. So it's important for us to understand how persecution comes and how it works so that you can recognize it and respond to it when it comes. The Bible tells us in John 10:10, the agenda of Satan. It is to steal, kill, and destroy. That is Satan's agenda for you. So I want to take some time and let's look at these three men, how they were persecuted and how this agenda of steal, kill, and destroy took place in their life. So here's the first thing that persecution does. It comes to steal your voice. Persecution comes to steal your voice. Revelation 12:10 calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. The reality is you have something to say and Satan wants to silence it. He does not have proof. He does not have facts. He does not have any credibility to stand on because lying is simply what he does. The Bible says he's the master of lying. He's the king of lying. Satan has come just to cause pandemonium and panic, steal, kill, and destroy. And we see it in this story with these three men. Satan influences, that's the first thing he does. He begins to influence the people around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He begins to influence them to accuse these three men. Check this out, Daniel 3, starting verse 8. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. This is what's happening in this moment. In a moment where there's a fight for truth, the voice that raised the loudest was the voice of compromise. Those who were willing to compromise their faith were the ones that were shouting the loudest. You see, when persecution comes, compromise is prevalent. There will be many who immediately compromised to those who were in power. And these men who were praising the one true God, now, because power is present, they compromised their faith and their belief in Jesus. See, power and persuasion of this culture prompted compromise. And we see it in our culture today. As soon as power is exercised, people compromise. We must not compromise our beliefs in the face of those who are power and influence. Daniel 3 verse 10 continues. It says this, your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, harp, pipe, you know those instruments, you know them well, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They're accusing. They're ratting them out. They neither serve your God nor worship the image of gold you have set up. They begin, these men who were once followers of God, who are now compromised, begin to throw accusations about these other godly men. They begin to rat out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't be shocked that when persecution comes, they will try to silence you and to steal your voice. But also, don't be surprised the peer pressure that will come with you. It'll come against you, and it'll prevent you from being committed to that which you have devoted your life to being committed to. In persecution, the first thing that we see is an attempt to steal our voice. Because the enemy knows if he can silence you, you have no voice. If he can take away your choice, you have no vote. But what we have is we have a voice and we have a vote. And we have to exercise that because one day Satan's going to try to steal that from us. Daniel 3:13 goes on like this. Fierce with rage, Nebuchadnezzar was upset. He summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up for you? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the blah, 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 all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. He's giving him a second chance. But if you don't worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what good, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? He's going to eat his words later. Here's what I want you to see. This last part. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. When persecution comes, there will be ultimatums. We need to be aware of the ultimatums. If you do this, then we'll do this. If you refuse to do this, then we will have to do this. This is an ultimatum. And we saw this, and it was so prevalent during COVID. I know we had it bad here, and some of you had some stories to tell, but in California, Oregon, and other parts of the world, persecution came in the form of ultimatums. We saw it on the news. Churches were told that they would be shut down if they did not close their doors. Pastors were told they'd be arrested if they even came to church. Now I'm thankful to live in Texas because I got on a video call when all this was going down and the governor said, we will never make you wear masks in church and we will never close your doors. So that's why we didn't. But we saw it in our culture. There's ultimatums to go eat, to go shopping. There's ultimatums. And these three men, it was no different for them. They had an ultimatum the king just gave them. Here was their response. Verse 13, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are, get away from me. If we are thrown, here you go, Tech. I'm preaching now. I'm just messing things up. Thank you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. They made a stand. They took a stand in that moment. You see, when persecution comes, you can either compromise or you can deepen your conviction. You're going to have a choice. You can either compromise, which most people will do, or you can deepen your conviction and stand firmer on your beliefs. That's why I just believe the Bible says the road to heaven is narrow, but the road to destruction, to hell, is wide, because so many people will compromise in the face of power and influence. We need to gain a deeper conviction and a deeper love for God and a deeper love for his word. This is what we stand on. We don't stand on my opinions. I'm not giving you my opinions today. I'm giving you the word of God. When we're asked to weigh in on something, it's not our opinion that matters. It's the absolute truth. Because if you have your opinion, I have my opinion, that's called relative truth. And who's right? Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. There has to be an absolute truth. This is our absolute truth. This is what we stand on. We stand on the word of God. So even when persecution comes, we're going to refuse to bow, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to refuse to bow. And here's a thought I had when preparing this message. I hope it helps you. You know, the Bible says that one day every knee will bow. Every knee will bow before God. So why compromise today and bow to something today that will eventually one day bow before God? Why should we bow a knee to anything that will one day bow before God? Don't give up. Don't give up your beliefs. Don't give up your convictions. Stand firm on them. Because persecution wants to steal your voice. Here's the second thing it wants to do. Persecution wants to kill your spirit. Remember, he's after the steal, kill, and destroy agenda. He wants to kill your spirit. These three men, they did not compromise. They stood strong in their faith. And what did it do? It only made the king more angry. Because he couldn't do anything else. Check this out. First part of verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. You know, when we stand up for our beliefs and our convictions, people's view of us is just going to change. What they told us to do, we did not do. So what happens now? They become angry. What they thought that we would just go along with and be okay with, and we refuse to, their view of us changes, and they realize they cannot control us anymore. So they become desperate. At the root of it, persecution is a sign that the enemy is becoming desperate. He has no other way. He tried forcefully with a hand and it didn't work. He's out of tactics. His only path forward is to bring pain and suffering now. He is desperate because we refuse to compromise. Really, we should embrace persecution and wear it like a badge of honor because you didn't compromise. I think when we refuse, he becomes desperate, but it also doesn't make any sense. When people are desperate, they start doing stupid things, right? Let's just read this real quick. He ordered, this is the king who was now angry and desperate. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than usual. Let's think about that. Why does it matter that the furnace needs to be heated up 7 more times, you know? I mean, wouldn't they just die at level 1, you know? Don't you think that's probably, would it be sufficient? No? Okay, he goes on, more nonsense, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them in the blazing furnace. Why would he need to tie them up? It's just, when people become desperate, they start doing things that don't really make any sense. I don't think the enemy knows that if he can't control you, here's what the enemy will do, is he'll turn up the heat on your life. If he knows that didn't work, he's just going to turn the heat up. Another accusation, another lie, another friend that unfollows you. He's just going to turn the heat up. You see, if we go outside today and we're sitting in the sun and the sun starts beating down on us, after a while you need to put some sun protection on, right? It's the same way. When the enemy turns the heat up on your life, you need more protection, church. You need to up your prayer life. You need to up your reading of God's word. You need to up your worship because we need the protection of God in our life. Here's where I have a problem with some people who are, you know, experiencing hardships of life. Is when they experience hardships of life, they just kind of go, well, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, they just become weak. They become weak. When I believe, when you're fighting for your marriage, when you're fighting for your kids to come to faith, when you're fighting for your values and your culture, it's going to need some warfare. You're going to need to get on your knees before God and cry out to him. You're going to need to open up the word and really draw into the word of God. Not just, you know, just get weak and just, you know, these balloons are getting on me right now. I'm about to start popping them up in here. Oh my gosh. With these three men, what we see next is a miracle. It was a move of God. It was the divine protection of God. You see, in the midst of persecution, that when you're experiencing this persecution, you will also be experiencing the divine protection of God. That's good news for someone. Look all throughout the Bible, in the middle of persecution, where God's plan and protection was revealed is where God was. Where there was persecution, there was God's plan. You see, we must not run from persecution, but embrace the persecution. Because it is in the middle of persecution that we see the hand of God at work. You see, you don't know that your God walks on fire until you're thrown in the fire and you see him walk. What you'll find in the fire of persecution is when you get tossed into it, look around. You'll find a God who is already in the fire waiting for you, comfortable, at ease, not freaking out. He's relaxed. He's there with you. I want to elaborate on this thought right here, this fiery furnace. Here's what happens in the process of this persecution of fire. Let's think about fire, for example. Fire can either burn up or it can refine. Fire can either destroy or it can purify. Fire is just an element. Depending on who's in the fire with you will determine the outcome of your fire experience. If your friends who led you astray are in the fire with you, that's a bad thing. The Bible calls that the eternal lake of fire, the second judgment, and that's hell forever. That's not a good place to be. But if you're in the middle of a fire, you look over and see Jesus, because Jesus is with you in the middle of fire, the product of that is refinement, is purity. You come out of the fire more purified. Embrace the fire. Just make sure Jesus is with you in the fire. Because persecution wants to steal your voice. Persecution wants to kill your spirit. And here's the final thing as we close with this. Persecution wants to destroy your legacy. See, Nebuchadnezzar was not happy because he looked down into the fire and he saw not three men, but he saw four men. He could not silence their voice. He could not kill them. So he turns up the heat. Verse 25, he said, look, I see four men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the son of God's. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and royal advisors, they crowded around them. They were amazed. What just happened? They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. You see, when you find yourself in the fire of persecution, the enemy will think he's got you. Because he's got you in the fire. He's not looking for an injury. He's looking for a fatality. He's trying to take you out. But Satan, he wants to not only kill you, but he wants to kill the move of God that God wants to do through you. He's trying to kill a legacy of God-fearing men and women. Man, when I see these kids come up here and lead us in a worship song, I see the stories. I see kids that probably would not be in church today if God had not gotten a hold of their parents. You see, God is trying to build the kingdom of God here in Lake Travis, and he wants to use you to do that. And so he gets a hold of your heart, and you bring your kids in, and your kids come, and they're participating in VBS, and they lead the church in a worship song. There's a legacy taking place. God wants to do something not just to you, but through you that will reach to generations to come. And he's trying to take you out. He wants to take out your legacy. It should be good news because God wants to build a legacy through you that's worth being taken out. I know that God has big plans for this church. We're growing like crazy in the middle of summer. It's not normally a time the churches grow. We're reaching people who are far from God with the message of Jesus. We're seeing children come to know him at an early age and grow an understanding for God. We're planting churches. We're giving to support the advancement of the gospel all throughout the world. We're taking ground here in Lake Travis. And guess who we're taking it from? The enemy. So let's not be shocked when we experience persecution because we took ground from him. And he's angry about it. When we give our lives to build a legacy, persecution just comes with the territory. Because Satan will do all that he can to stop you from building your legacy. But even though we tried to kill a legacy in these three men, it didn't work. Instead, it kind of backfired on him, as it usually does. Instead of killing a legacy, he birthed a promotion in a generation. These men, they were not killed, they were promoted. Persecution will either kill you or it will promote you. These men did not quit, they stood strong. If they had quit, the enemy would have won. But why would we allow the enemy to win when the Bible says the enemy loses? Why would we call him the winner, the victor, when Satan has been defeated by Jesus? These three men were called out of the fire. Verse 27, they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Have you ever been around a campfire? There is no chance you're walking away from that campfire not smelling like a campfire, right? You like walk by it, it's like 50 feet away, and someone's like, are you a smoker? You know, it's like, it just comes on you, right? No matter what, it comes on you, and you reek of fire. I just want to take a moment to speak prophetically to someone in here that you may have walked through a furnace season. You may have walked through the fire. And because of what you went through, you're fearful that others will smell it on you. You're fearful that others will know this about you. I want to say this over you, that there is no smell of your past. There is no smell of your former season. Jesus has removed it from you. You know what you went through. But God has chosen to protect you. And we look at you now, there's not a hair misplaced on your head. Your clothes are neatly put together. You're not messy and there's no scent on you. Someone needs to receive that today. Because you're walking around thinking you smell like a campfire and everyone else, they don't smell it. He's protected you. In the place of persecution, these three men, they come out promoted. Verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. When we stand for God, God will stand for us, no matter what. We're in the days of the enemy is ramping up his persecution. We've seen it abroad and we're seeing it more at home. But for those who stand and refuse to compromise, they will weather the storm. And more than that, they're gonna come out on top. They're gonna be promoted. Because it's in the place of persecution that the Lord does his best work. Satan wants to steal your voice. He wants to kill your spirit. He wants to destroy your legacy. But God has a different agenda. His agenda is to give you life and have it to the full. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Would you pray with me? I just want to take a moment right now. I want to pray for those in this room right now who feel accused, who feel persecuted, who are in the fire, who are in the persecution season, who feel like they just can't catch a break. Everywhere they turn, they're getting persecuted. I just want to pray for you, God. I just pray, Lord, right now that the hand of God would protect those who are in a season of persecution, that no matter what comes their way, no matter what the enemy throws at them, God, that it would be scorched because the hand of God is protecting them, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Father, that you hold them in the palm of your hand and you're protecting them even now. No matter what anybody says about you, no matter what they accuse you about, no matter what anybody does to you or says about you, the Lord says something different. And those attacks that they throw at you, they will fail. Because Jesus has protected you. God, I just pray for, to see it in Scripture, the hand of God would provide a way when there was no way, that the hand of God would provide food when there was no food, the hand of God would provide protection when there was nowhere to run to. God, I'm just asking for a move of God, a protection of God, the provision of God, your mighty hand guiding us and protecting us in these days. I want to close like I always do. If you've never made a decision to trust Jesus, to begin a relationship with Jesus before you leave today, I just want to lead you in a simple prayer to begin a relationship, begin a journey with Jesus. I believe that the closer we get to this persecution days and the more the culture infiltrates us, we're going to see people coming to faith in Jesus like for real. not like the old days, they just would just to check a box. This is people who are falling in love with Jesus, letting them lead and guide their life and being transformed by the gospel. If that's you today, I just want to lead you in a simple prayer right where you're at. If you want to start a relationship with Jesus today, just pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place for my sins. And today I place my faith and my trust in you. From this day forward, I'll live for you and for you alone. Change me and make me into the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Quick clap and celebrate those who prayed their prayer.